Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Peggy Liu. And today on Bite Size, we're going to be speaking with Chris Hatch. Chris Hatch is Unifiller's business development manager, and he's head of the North American bakery division. So he's definitely the right person to talk to about today's topic. We're going to be talking about offsetting labor costs with automation. Welcome to the podcast, Chris. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. Considering the topic that we're going to be talking about today, trying to get myself into the mindset of the seriousness of the context that many people are dealing with right now. Let's just dive right in. And we're going to talk about specifically the bakery industry in the States. According to CNN, 20 states have raised their minimum wage as of January 1st. And while that's a win for employees during this time of financial instability, it seems that many small businesses argue that this is kind of having to make them make a choice of laying off employees or closing their business altogether. So this does put a bit of a strain on small bakeries in the States, given the COVID situation right now. I was wondering if you can speak to, for people who are skeptical of adopting automation, how would you explain to these businesses that automation is the perfect solution and is the way forward in the industry?
Oh, okay. That's a good question. So let's put it this way. I mean, raising minimum wage is a good thing. You'd think, raising people's standard of living is great. The challenge, of course, is, there's competition, right? So you have competition within your state. So obviously having a leg up, being maybe operating more efficiently to get your cost of goods lower, lends itself to automation. Now, there's also competition throughout the states, depending on what kind of a wholesaler you're, if you're a wholesaler or you're a retailer. If you're wholesaling and selling nationally, then you have struggles that you're going to be encountering from other states that have lower minimum wages, even though they may have raised, but they're still significantly lower. So this is a pretty huge challenge for manufacturers. And the only leveler of the level of playing field, I would say, is it's automation. Now, the other thing that comes into play is, when you're competing in the marketplace for a similar product. So let's say it's just a very simple cake and you're maybe competing on price. Then, of course, it really drives you to have to invest in equipment and process automation to reduce those costs of goods. If not, what's happening is the other guy down the road, or the guy in the next state over, has maybe taken advantage of the situation, and maybe you're losing some market share. So That's the biggest challenge, and it's not easy to deal with. I would suggest that many companies, manufacturers in the baking world, just really they really need to differentiate themselves, their products. So that if they are not invested heavily in automation, they need to make sure that they have products or services or whatever they're selling that is special and unique and worth the extra money. In most cases, unfortunately, that's not possible. So you have to really reduce those costs of goods. So,
right. So you mentioned there's the competition factor in the baking world, and that adds that additional, I guess, stress factor in regards to, if you want to compete with, the guy next door, like, you got to have the labor and the resources available. And, everybody knows that employee turnover, that's been a persistent problem in the industry for many years, even before COVID presented itself as a public health crisis. So the problem with the turnover in the baking and food industry, there's the financial cost, there's the time cost, training, there's a shortage of skilled workers. In order to compete, how can automation help employers regain some sense of control over their labor? How can they leverage that?
That's a huge part of the whole equation, right? Is how do we as a manufacturer, how do you get control over your processes? Or, and again, once you have control, you generally are able to reduce costs, right? So right. Control can look like, let's say on an automation line, just by implementing a conveyor, just as simple as a conveyor, that's that little bit of automation increases the productivity because you have people now not looking for product or walking around grabbing things. They're sitting up, standing over a conveyor and working. So that's probably the simplest form of automation that significantly, I mean, when I say significantly, probably at least a 20% increase in productivity by just having a person standing there working off of a conveyor, a moving conveyor. Some people actually have their conveyors be used as a table. So that would be not. Then the next thing is when you start to think about, well, let's have some machines on those, you know, working alongside of a conveyor that helps, you know, with increasing the productivity of that worker, right? So then you add maybe a couple simple machines that enable a process to be just much faster. And that's another level that then helps you reduce those costs of goods. Of course, getting into, you know, there's fully automated lines and all kinds of, you know, there's robotic solutions. There's plenty of bandwidth in that world of automation, right? And how far do you go? And I think that it's important that, you know, as a food manufacturer, that you would pay really good attention to, you know, and make sure you're partnering with a good consultant or a group. Like, for example, like for Unifiller, what we do is really dig deep into what the real challenges are and try to help a company make a good decision so they can grow their business organically, right? And really succeed. So you have to find that, I guess, the happy middle ground that enables you to spend some money that offers you a return on investment and increases your productivity, decreasing your cost of goods. So it's a bit of a juggling act. There's not too many companies out there that can just have a blank check and start investing into, you know, huge dollars into automation. And the next thing is you have to also think about being responsible, because this is capital and capital costs money, right? You know, there's a huge cost to investing into equipment that you have to make sure that you have that business. So it's a sustainable product line, let's say. So if you're buying equipment that's specific to a product line or product, you want to make sure that you have enough of that product to sell, and that ideally you're buying equipment that's flexible, that can be used in multiple different product lines, right? So it's just minimizing risk and you know, offering you the greatest reward for that investment dollar, right, for each piece of equipment. So yeah.
Sorry, just to sort of interject there, I think you made a few really interesting points, especially in regards to finding that sweet spot, so to speak, to having that kind of sustainable level of productivity. Because unless you really talk to someone who understands how automation can be properly integrated into a lot of manufacturing processes, for someone who is maybe not as knowledgeable, there's this general idea that, you know, automation is this huge investment. You got to pay a lot of money up front for these, you know, these fancy machines and have it sort of just take over your existing process. So I think it's really great that you mentioned you can add it incrementally, and it doesn't have to be, you know, like a fully automated line. Even just having a conveyor or like a machine to help with worker productivity can give greater investment. So I think that's a really good point, and it's something that should be made more widely known to people.
Well, I mean, the thing is, every company is going to have different, you know, challenges. A large company is going to have, you know, greater competition from other large companies, right? So they're going to have to definitely invest heavily in automation. And the smaller company that, again, is just starting, it's really looking at the everyday tasks that you're dealing with that are, you know, it could be as simple as just portioning batter. You know, if you're a small company and if you're hand portioning batter, essentially you're now competing against another company down the road that just might have a single piston depositor, a little machine that does it quickly and accurately, right? So that that's sort of the idea is to understand your market that you're in, understand your competition that you're dealing with, and try to figure out, you know, where in your processes that you're really just, you're too reliant on labor. And the next thing is, if it's skilled labor, right, that's the other side of it, is that that's difficult to come about, skilled labor. There's a lot of competition. So where machines come into play is to try to, you know, maybe you need to invest more money to get that skilled labor for other functions in your business. But now the simple, you know, hand scooping of batter is being managed mostly by a machine. So this allows you to essentially, you know, reallocate your funds in different areas, right? And allow you to compete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a really great point. And I think to that, to speak to what you just said, finding the right equipment provider would be quite essential to hitting that sweet spot, right? Like to finding the right people to talk to understand your challenges and to recommend the right solutions for them. Not necessarily.
I would just say, sorry to interrupt, but I would say not necessarily an equipment provider, but you just need to find a good partner. In the partner meaning that someone who has your best interest in mind, because a lot of equipment companies out there that are happy to sell you a machine and not really care how it works or how it impacts your facility. And that's the critical side of it is, yeah, you can buy a machine and then have it sit in the corner because nobody wants to use it. So it's really critical to find a partner. And I like to think that Unifiller and the style of consulting that we offer is very much in line with that philosophy of helping first. And then, you know, if it makes sense, if you do business, if you don't, if it doesn't make sense, you just help someone. That's all, right? Either way.
Yeah, I think that would definitely be a key takeaway from this conversation. So for all our listeners, relationship is key. Finding the right partner is key. So we're just going to wrap up our interview with Chris here. Chris, do you have any last words of wisdom that you would like to provide to our listeners today?
Words of wisdom. I would just say, you know, again, just focusing on the partnership and finding a company or even a consultant, an actual consultant or a mentor that you can work with that will help you navigate, because it's a challenging environment, you know, dealing with high cost employees, people that don't show up, temp agencies, you know, all competitors in your, you know, like everything is a challenge. So wherever you can find a good help, someone who's really going to listen and help you make a good decision, it's worth everything. You know, it's the absolute gold.
Mm-hmm. for sure. All right. So thank you very much for joining us today, Chris. Your
That's
advice
right.
has been, yeah, invaluable to many of our listeners, I'm sure. So that's it for our episode today. Thank you guys for tuning in. Be sure to join in on our next episode of Bite Sized.